Welcome you to Bible study this morning, the second Sunday of Easter, as we continue our study, the book of Acts. We welcome those who are here in person and those listening on KFUO. So please turn to Acts 5, and we'll start with verse 1. And we're going to read through the first six verses, and then we're going to talk for a while. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds, and brought only a part of it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, this is a mess, a hot mess, okay? It is so difficult just reading it first time that many commentators and scholars have said that this is so out of keeping with the theology of the New Testament, it shouldn't even be in here. And they've been for omitting it. There are others who have gone to far lengths to explain it away so it's not what it seems, and the theories are far-fetched and improbable. It is a very difficult passage and needs to be looked up at carefully. I'll tell you a story. When I was a young man, long time ago, first year in Concordia, Austin, preparing for the ministry, I was home, and the youth group was having a retreat and asked me to give the message and to work with my pastor, Pastor Oddie, to write the message. So I was honored. So I went to his office and said, what have you decided to preach on? And I said, well, I think I'm going to preach on Ananias and Sapphira. And I saw a look on my pastor's face I had never seen. And he just looked at me and said, you really, really don't want to do that. I bet no one in this room ever heard a sermon from a pulpit on Ananias and Sapphira. Most pastors won't touch it. Okay? So let's dive into this and see what we have here. It's very important to know the context. And the context is in chapter 4, verse 36, so please go up to that. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, this is the first we see of this. And of course, Barnabas we hear about throughout Acts, and he's highly respected. But notice that he sold it, and he laid all the purchase price at the apostles' feet. And I'm sure he was highly honored for that. I'm sure others also felt like that put pressure on them to do the same. So with that context, then we begin. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, that's very important, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what he did was he sold a piece of property. He kept back part of it for he and his wife. But when he brought the rest of the money to Peter, he said this was the total price. So he was trying to receive the accolades like Barnabas received, but only give up part of the money. And in the process, lied about it. Okay? So that's what he did. Now, we go back. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, would it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? So, when Barnabas sold the field and laid it before the apostles' feet, he did it voluntarily. Ananias voluntarily could have sold his property, kept part of it for himself, brought part of it to the apostles, and simply said to the apostles, this is part of it. I have retained part. That would have been fine. That would have been totally acceptable. Nobody was forcing him to give it all. The lie is that he gave it, and he said it was all of it, but it wasn't. So he wanted it both ways. He wanted to be known as one of the great people of the community who had given his all, and he also wanted to be a sneak and reserve some of it for he and his wife. Okay? Peter makes it very clear that he could have done that and it would have been fine, because this was a voluntary gift. He made it a problem by the way he did it. You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. Okay? He dropped dead. Now, one of the things that's always discussed about this passage is Peter. Because people point at Peter and say, okay, Peter denied Jesus three times, wept bitterly, repented, and received Christ's forgiveness. Peter would never treat another sinner this way. Well, they're missing the real issue here. It's not Peter that exacts judgment. Peter simply reveals the sin. This is God's action. This is God's action. And so, you know, that last verse says it all. Okay? When Ananias heard these words, he fell down dead. You have not lied to man, but to God. Okay? But to God. Now, why is this dealt with so severely? That's the issue. Why did God deal so severely with this? Scared everybody in the church. I'm sure if we had somebody brought their offering up to the church and was accused and dropped dead, it kind of put the fear of God in you. Hey, there might not be as many people in church as there were last Sunday. Okay, it gets your attention, and it got the church's attention. I want to look at a couple of things. First of all, the fact that it was a lie. The truth is the basis of the church. It is the foundation of the church. Lie is unacceptable. So when he told this lie, it was absolutely contrary to everything the church stands for, which is absolute truth. Okay? Second of all, he did not lie to Peter. He lied to the Holy Spirit and to God. Now, I want you to look at a passage right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And this really puts it into context with the severity. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. That kind of puts what's going on here into context. You got to remember, these are the very literally early days of the church. This church community has just begun. And God wants it begun on the right foot. It's the Holy Spirit that had come to the people, okay, and given them faith on Pentecost, and not only given them faith, but formed them into a community. The Holy Spirit was the basis of that community. The Holy Spirit built that community. That was the will of God. That was the plan of God. So it is very serious when you lie to the founder of the community, which is what he did. Okay? And this example is an example to all of the community. Now, there is some scholars that point to the fact that maybe, it's all speculation, maybe after the resurrection of Christ, you go 50 days to Pentecost, and this is not that long after Pentecost. What if Ananias and Sapphira were the first people in the Christian community to die after Christ was resurrected? Some believe that's why it's so startling, because there was the misconception that because Jesus died and rose again, they weren't going to die. So when Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, it kind of put a pin in the balloon. And that's one of the reasons it scared them. Now, that's all speculation. But it might be the reason for fear gripping the church. Okay? Now let's read on and put the other piece to this. Verse 7. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." Peter is trying to get her to fess up and tell the truth. And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord?" Okay, so now she will not repent. She tells the same lie. "Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Peter gave her the possibility of telling the truth and repenting. She would not. Peter knew that another lie of this nature was going to end with the same result, and it did. Okay? But one of the important things here is if you look in verse 11, "And great fear came upon the whole church." It's the first time the word church is used in the book of Acts. So it's not just a community, it is God's church. And the word for church means called out ones. They have been called out from the world. They have been called out to believe in Jesus Christ. And having been called out, they are now the creation of God and the creation of the church. Okay? And that word is used for the first time there. At the end of all things, after two people are dead. So you can see, if you just give this a cursory reading, how you just think, well, let's go on. Let's move on. And you know, this would be difficult to explain from the pulpit. Okay. Some things should not be preached on. That's why they're not even in the lectionary. They know better. Okay? But it all centers on the lie. The lie to God and the lie to the Holy Spirit, who is God, because the truth has to be, the truth of God's word has to be the foundation of the church. All. Okay? That's the real key to understanding this. It's not Peter, it's God. To understanding these passages. Yes, they are difficult, but when you put everything into context, that's the emphasis. That's the emphasis. And we're going to stop here, and I'll take some questions. I don't want to go on before we do that, but I don't want to hear any excuses for Ananias and Sapphira. They were struck dead, and I'm not making excuses for them.
I want to know what you were going to teach to those kids. I mean, did you fancy yourself?
I didn't.
I know, but what did you have in mind?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Let's talk about that a minute. The first use when you read this passage is to preach on it to the people of God and tell them, you stop doing what you're doing or God's going to kill you. Okay? Sometimes pastors would like to teach that, but it's kind of not done. Okay? Yeah.
Okay. My question for you is, I understand lying to the people and deceiving the people of their money and what they didn't give everything. I understand that. But God knows everything. So he knows, are you truly really lying? Because he knows your heart. He knows everything. And to call it a lie to God, that's where I'm stumbling. Because I'm like, well, is it a lie? Because he knows,
well, he knows
everything.
He knows so, everything.
And so,
but he knows that sometimes in our lives, we try to do things as if
right.
he didn't know.
Right.
Right.
But I see more of the lie to the people of God and to the church. Rather, it's hard for me to understand that one verse about lying to God because he knows everything. And I just don't.
Well, you can still lie to God even though he knows everything. You can still lie to God. Try to,
you're kind of lying to yourself.
Put one over on him. Yeah.
I'll just go backwards. So the devil is the father of lies. And so if the Holy Spirit is being lied to, it tells us in what dimension all of this warfare was actually going on. Actually, the devil
Satan is the father of lies.
Right. So the devil and the Holy Spirit were really the ones.
Correct.
Intention.
This is the battle.
So I had a couple other questions, real quickly. So we aren't told, but I wonder what the church did with the money. You know, you gave the example. You know.
Yeah.
And I think about what the Sanhedrin did with the 30 pieces of silver. It's just a curiosity. And the last
we are just not told that.
No. And you were talking about, I'm sorry.
I don't want to speculate.
No.
I don't want to speculate.
So I was just going to speculate and say that on another level or another case, you were talking about they may have been the first Christians to die after the resurrection. Which makes me think, you know, it's very possible that Lazarus was still alive, too.
Lazarus was still alive.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's an interesting thing to think about, but we have no proof whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Pastor, with your interpretation that this was from God and not from Peter, I mean, there's other instances where Peter brought people to life. So, I mean, could it be the interpretation that Peter also has the power here to take life from them?
But Peter, we don't have any statement that Peter did that. It simply says he breathed his last. It does not say that Peter...
Well, I mean, with the follow-up with his wife, he says they're going to carry you out. It's more of a direct threat with his wife.
That's because he saw what happened to Ananias, not that he did it.
Peter, it could just as easily have been...
Peter does not have the power to give life and to cast judgment. Only God does.
But through Peter, God could allow Peter, because he had the power to do that.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so, because Peter's power was in the gospel. This is not the gospel. This is not the gospel.
So I found this interesting that this is the first time that the church is mentioned. So the word temple and synagogue has been mentioned numerous times before this, but this is really the first time.
First time it's used in the book of Acts.
Okay.
A couple of things. First of all, building on the 1 Corinthians passage, right after the one that we read, that we are God's temple, right after that it says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly to God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. So then another comment, Peter is displaying actually some what we would call the gifts of the Spirit, in that he's discerning what's in their heart.
He is discerning.
And also a prophet, because he knows what God, just like we had prophets in the Old Testament that knew what God was going to do.
Correct.
Peter knew this. So we're seeing more of the unfolding of Peter as a New Testament apostle.
Correct. And one thing to what James said, there are instances where the prophets call down judgment. Look at Elijah. When the king sent 50 men to bring him back, and they showed disrespect, Elijah just killed them all. Fire fell from heaven and killed them all. Well, you can argue, was that Elijah or was that God? Okay. By the way, then he sent 50 more and he killed them. And then he sent 50 more and the commander of those 50 said, please don't kill us. Yeah. Go ahead.
Is it too far afield to say this is a lesson in the reason why we give and whether or not how much you give?
Well, you know, certainly giving is to be voluntary, not from coercion.
Not to impress everyone.
Not to impress everyone. When I was a fourth-year student, I took care of a vacancy in Illinois for my fourth year. Every year, in January, they published a book that told what every person in that church gave to the church that year. It was the talk of the town. There was embarrassment. There was pride. It did not bring out the best in people. Money never does. And so what you're saying is you have to be careful. It's voluntary and it's from the heart. On the other hand, there are some people that will not give a nickel because they think somebody might see how much they give. That's not right either. Yeah. And you know, it's not right because what it usually means is they're ashamed of how much they're given. That's usually what it means. So, but the whole concept of money is difficult. And that's why the Gospel of Luke talks more about how to deal with money as a Christian person than any other book in the New Testament. Okay, anything else? Paul. Paul has studied this passage too.
The issue here is really the truth. In the church, there must be truth. How many times, somewhere near 80 in the Gospels, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you." He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Truth matters to God. We wonder why God would be so severe, because we don't take the sin of lying as seriously as we should, or as seriously as God does, especially in the church. We can talk about conspiracies or plotting or deception or even little white lies, and we don't take that very serious because, you know, it's inconvenient for us to talk on the phone, so we tell the kid, just tell him I'm not at home. Tax season. We fudge just a little bit on the numbers, and that's not so serious because everybody else is doing it. The truth matters to God, especially in his church. And that's why I think it's significant that the word church is here. The church is going to be different than the world.
The world.
Yep. Because if the church does not stand and speak the truth consistently, if we've all seen what happens out in the public when there is deception in the church or there's conspiracy in the church, then not only is the church being called into question, but the gospel itself is being called into question. And so I believe God is saying here at the very beginning of the church, it's all about the truth. We speak the truth. God's word is truth. And when we speak it out in the public needs to know. No conspiracy, no deceit. This is what God says. And they can believe it as truth.
That is true. You know, in the church, there is certainly you always need to speak the truth. Secrets that are kept in the church never go well. Never go well. Now, I'm not talking about confidences. That's not keeping a confidence, you know, the pastor keeping. I'm just saying things happen and you keep it a secret so everybody doesn't know. It's not going to end well. Never does. Yes, my Joanne. Oh, I thought Joanne. You're sitting down and said, "Joanne, I thought Joanne, I haven't had you ask a question in 40 years.
No, I can ask you at home.
So. You can ask me at home? Okay, Mark?
So what's in a name? The footnote in the ESV Bible says that Sapphira means beautiful. The name Ananias means the Lord is gracious.
Yeah. They didn't live up to their name, did they? Yeah. All right. Enough on Ananias and Sapphira. And no, I did not preach on that verse. Never have and never will. Okay? And you can see why. There are certain passages in the Bible that are difficult, and when you preach on them, people cannot ask questions. Where in a teaching setting, they can, to get further understanding. So there are simply certain passages that need to be taught and not preached. All right, the next verses are just kind of a summary. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And we're talking about all the apostles now. They're still in Jerusalem, okay? And they were all together in Solomon's portico. That's the portico in the temple. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held him in high esteem. Well, maybe they didn't dare to join because they heard about Ananias and Sapphira, okay? And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. That's two kind of contradictory verses. The rest dared join them. None of them dared join them. And in the next verse, more than ever believers were added to them. So, I said the thing about Ananias and Sapphira. That may have deterred people that were on the fringe, and the people that were joining were truly, their hearts had been changed. So that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. Okay? The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. All right. So the ministry of the gospel is in full swing. Okay? Both preaching and accompanied by miracles. And the church is growing rapidly. Now, we won't get through all this, but we'll start. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. All right. We got to go back now. The high priest, the priest, and the party of the Sadducees were all Levites and priests. It does not mention the Sanhedrin here, but just so you realize, in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees were probably a minority compared to the Sadducees. Now, this gets into politics. But the general feeling is that the common people, the everyday person, had more respect for the Pharisee than he did the Sadducee. The Sadducees were Levites, and they were tended to be much more friendly towards Rome, because they wanted to keep the peace and make sure that the temple functioned, because that was their livelihood. And as long as there were no problems in the temple, they knew that the Romans wouldn't shut it down. Okay? The Pharisees, on the other hand, they were lay people, and they focused on teaching the law of Moses. They also believed in the resurrection and angels and spirits, where the Sadducees did not. So the common people probably had more respect for the Pharisees than they did the Sadducees. The Sadducees were very upset, were still in the early days, and they arrested all the apostles. But during the night, an angel of the Lord. Now, do any of your translations say the angel of the Lord? No? Well, just know that some do. Because there's a difference an angel of the Lord is an angel. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Christ. So just keep that in mind, okay? An angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. All right. So, the apostles here see the power of God. The power of God is not going to let the Sadducees or anyone else stop the preaching of the word. The prison doors are not going to hold them back. They are going to preach the word. Okay? Going to preach the word. And they were especially, the Sadducees were especially upset because they were doing it in the temple. And the chief word they were preaching was that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. So the disciples were checking off every box of people that they had to hate, okay, that were truly on the other side, okay? Truly on the other side. And they began to teach. All right. So the ministry goes on. The conversion of people goes on. Okay? It's critical here. It's critical here that we understand that God is not going to allow the gospel to be confined or to stop preaching. As Tanner talked about this morning with Gamaliel, which he will talk about next week. Okay. It's in this chapter. Okay. So we'll get there. Now, a couple of more verses. The Sadducees just don't get it. Now, when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." God has his way. Now, the chief priest, the high priest, the council would never ever admit that God broke them out of jail. They would say one of the guards was sympathetic and let them out. They would come up with all kinds of reasons, but they would never... Well, first of all, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels. And so we see here that God sees to it that the word is preached. Now notice, this is back to what Paul said. The truth is the critical part. Because when they stood in the temple, they preached the truth. Not lies. The truth. That was the foundation. If they weren't speaking the truth, then it all falls down. Ultimately, it all falls down. So God does not let the proclamation of the gospel stop. Okay? And we read the last few words. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Not only did the apostles have the support of God, now they have support of the people. The Sadducees are on the wrong side of everything. Okay? The wrong side of everything. And it's showing. And this is just in the early days. It's going to get worse for the Sadducees. They have lost their power and they refuse to acknowledge it. Yet, ultimately, they will have to. Ultimately, they will have to. All right, final questions, comments. Yeah, Mark. Not Joanne.
I know your wife may have good questions that others of us also have in mind, but don't ask. So it would be nice if she would share. I know, but then we wouldn't hear the answers. So in present day Jewish church, are any of these groups still around, the Pharisees or the Sadducees?
No, not that. Well, you know, you could call an Orthodox Jew a Pharisee. I mean, that might be true, but not the Sadducees. No, not the Sadducees. When we talk about Gamaliel, you know, he's going to talk about Judas that led a revolt. There's some thoughts on that. When we get there, we'll talk about it. Yeah. When the temple and everything was destroyed.
We seem to be going back and forth. They called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel. Is that a public or is that a religious senate?
That's a religious.
That is religious.
That is
so it's
religious.
Like the Sanhedrin?
They would not call the Romans to be a part of that.
And those that were involved in the captain with the officers, that's also the Jewish.
Those are temple guards. Those are all religious. And when it says senate, that's referring to the Sanhedrin. Yeah. Anything else? All right. When you're feeling real good about yourself this week, think about Ananias and Sapphira. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.